This is RSVB Update, episode 458, recorded Saturday, March 29th, 2014. That damn still. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this week's RSVB update. If you are sitting here on Saturday hoping to hear this show and you're wondering where it's been, well, we're sorry, it's a little late. That is the nature of Grandmaster quests that require high levels of divination, the newest skill in game.
I hate divination.
That is Earth. He is joining us on this week's episode.
Yeah, I don't like divination, and I had to let's go see how many levels I had to get over the past
month.
All right, accomplish or progress from March 1st. I had to gain 12 levels and 800k experience.
And for divination.
So I got that this morning.
Well, there you go.
I started the quest this afternoon.
There you go. For those of you guys wondering where Trekkie is, he had to slither off to go help his dad with something. And because of the nature of the show being focused on a quest and kind of late already, we just decided to move on without him at the stage. So, hopefully he'll be...
Slither?
Yeah, Slither.
Why Slither? Oh, I forgot to activate the aura.
Ooh, wow. That would have helped you.
A little bit.
Anyway, so, Fate of the Gods. That's that Zarosian quest that everybody's been waiting for. It started way, way back in the olden days with a quest called the Dig Site. In that you discover this area of something going on, hearkening all the way back to a lost empire. And this is even before Zaros was mentioned by name. And I remember doing this quest.
Yeah, just little tablets, though.
Yeah, I remember when this quest first came out way back when. And the Dig Site quest chain was always very interesting to me in terms of... what it was, and it just kept getting more interesting over time, you know, with quests like the Temple at Sintistan and Desert Treasure. So
what did you decide, Shane? Just gonna jump right to the end and then work our way back?
All
right. What did you decide to do with them?
With Zaros?
Mm-hmm.
I reinvigorated him fully and let him into my body.
Yeah. But so you let him return?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I did the same thing.
It seemed like the right thing to do.
Although, yeah. I mean, we've been waiting. Let's see.
Dig Site came out in 2003.
Okay. So we've been waiting 11 years for this to happen, so yeah, why not, right?
And, I mean, ever since Desert Treasure first came out and they really started to shine the light on what was going on with Zaros, and basically we never knew what he was all about back then. I always had an interest from him in him all the way back when. We had no idea he played such a large role until... I want to say last year. Does that sound right? Knowing he was so important?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he is essentially one of the very early gods of RuneScape, or the universe, actually.
He is.
Yeah. Because there's also Saren, which, well, maybe we should attack this when we go over the quest.
He wouldn't talk about her.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We'll start from the beginning. Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, but we just have to get that out of the way about whether or not we brought him back, because he does come back regardless, I imagine.
Yeah, I looked on the wiki and just to see what would happen. The other one, so I was pretty sure that you brought him back as well, and there wasn't really like a branch. And I mean, even if he does turn out to be bad, the choices we make, I think, don't really matter because they can only make so many endings.
Yeah. This is true.
If this were something like Skyrim, then it could... What?
That's what we'd be hearing.
Okay. Shane's gone a little crazy. But since this is a multiplayer game, they can only do so much.
Yeah.
So, I don't really think it matters what you pick.
Yeah, it doesn't. Because, everything is on a set path, and there are going to be subtle dialogue differences. But particularly, I saw one during the quest because I have Zaro set as my emissary. So, that played into it. I don't exactly remember what the exact words were, but it stood out.
Anyway, let's...
Requirements! 73 agility. That's easy, right?
Sure.
79 magic?
Yeah.
76 slayer?
That's moderately difficult, I guess.
67 summoning?
Fine.
And 75 divination.
Don't talk to me about that.
So, that is the reason why they brought out the Majora's Memories mini quest last week. Which, when you think about it, with it being a mini quest, they should have brought that out 3 weeks ago, you know? Just given the amount of time it took. And the fact that if you start at level 60... you can, in fact, get to 75 through all the memories and the bonus XP that you get. But the problem is, people do not have
like
5 hours in 1 week to do that, you know? So I think...
I don't think it took 5 hours. I think it took, like, 8.
Oh, okay.
It took a really long time.
Yeah, so...
Well, there are 15, and it takes about 30 minutes each, so that's 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if they brought that out sooner, people could have paced themselves and, you know, we could have trained divination a bit more and had the level sooner all around, but they didn't choose to do that, which is kind of disappointing. But anyways...
What can you do? Right? Yeah.
So this quest ultimately starts with the World Gate, which is hidden in the Shadow Realm by someone that we've known before, and somebody that appears to have been pulling the strings, and that's Liske. Now, basically, you go into the Shadow Realm, and you need to calibrate the gate to take you to the ancient world of Freniske. And then once you're there, it's just a matter of tracing through there, attempting to find Zaros and bring him back.
Is it just me, or did it seem like I'd known that it was there?
No, it didn't seem very obvious to me.
Because of the quest where you go back in time.
Makes sense.
That city?
Right.
You pronounce it weird.
Ardoyan? Yep.
Which I still don't see how that's how you pronounce it, but... it was around there, so it's like, alright, it's probably a bit west of there. I don't know. It just looked like that area.
You know, that's interesting.
But anyway.
That you mentioned that. But at the same time, there's like a quest icon on the map in that area, and if you look at the map, that quest icon wasn't there last week, so kind of obvious.
That's not even what I was talking about.
I know. But okay. I'm saying if you didn't want to use your brain... you could do it that way.
Wow, Shane. Okay, so once you, what's the word, calibrate it to go to Freniske, you walk through it, and I don't know. Comparing it to the to a hell, would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing that I thought of once I started making my way through it.
Explain why.
Well, I mean, it's dark for one thing, and it's not exactly something that looks like it supports life, and you wouldn't want to spend any time there because you're always evading the next hazard, whether it be an ash cloud, volcanic eruption, or lightning. So you do need to be careful as you're moving through it. And, I mean, I used up a whole inventory of rocktails just the first run through it in order to actually get to the safe zones.
Yeah, it
was on what's called the approach.
Annoying. If we couldn't have gone through the checkpoints, I would have been really irritated.
Yeah, and I mean,
they took all my food.
That is something that JX has improved on over the years in terms of questing, and to a degree, it's still an annoyance today because you're trying to avoid these areas where lightning is going to strike because you can see the little burst of static on the ground.
Static building. Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, okay, we can tell our character where to go, but if you hit one lag spike, you're going to go in completely the different direction, and you're going to run into one of those. So, I mean, this is just
this is the problem with the game engine.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And this is precisely
about it.
Why I don't like boss fighting on RuneScape. Because I don't want to be governed where my character is going to go based on my internet connection.
Yeah.
So I'm going to agree with you. That part was annoying, even though we had food and whatnot to go through it. There are little regenerative areas along the way. Did you catch those?
Yeah, I did. I got that the second time. I was like, oh, okay, that's what that thing does.
Yeah. And there are also little crystals that you can gather along the way that put together Zaro's memories.
Mm-hmm.
Which are good, because, I mean, that just enhances the lore. And, I mean, if you really just wanted to run through this quest, you wouldn't exactly need.
You could probably do it in 45 minutes, but yeah. It took me about 2 hours because I stopped and read everything.
Same here.
Well, 2.5 because I died at one part because Shane didn't prepare me well enough.
That's not my fault.
Shane just loves getting me killed.
Like happened at the God Wars dungeon, right?
So you go to. Once you get through hell, I guess you can say, you reach the sanctum. It's just a big room. And let's see, there's like a puzzle thing, you just have to rotate it so the symbols match up.
That wasn't too bad.
Incredibly difficult. And then next up, you have to fight things called Nihils.
Yep, four of them.
Which have what? Blood, ice, shadow, and smoke, right?
Yep, each of the ancient magic types.
Mm-hmm.
So. How did this go?
Well, this is where you got me killed.
Oh, okay.
But basically, what I didn't learn, you need to get out of the way of the ones dashing while you're fighting one of the other ones. And then you also need to, get in front of one of them to attack them, because they run away really fast, and it's incredibly obnoxious.
Yeah, I mean, you can lose 2,100 life points if you get hit by one of the ones that you're not fighting, so that can add up over time.
Yep. But yeah, you kill all of them, and then
After
you
that,
can proceed.
After that, it becomes easy, I think. Because the next stage is actually a simple fight, providing you're using ancient magics and ancient curses. Because if you let Zaros inhibit you...
isn't that part.
Oh, it's not?
Cradle? No. You meet Zaros right after that.
Yeah. The moment we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, and he's been following you, slash leading you the whole way.
He's a little purple dot.
Of course, he's purple orb, yeah. And then if you allow him to go up, you get past all of that, and then you go up to the very top, and then there's a seemingly dead giant figure there, reminiscent of Guthix. And it is an elder god, and she's just asleep. And she starts to wake up, and then Zaros asks your permission to enter you, and you do that. And you get unlimited prayer points for the ancient curses and unlimited runes for ancient magics. So you're invincible.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Providing you don't accidentally turn off prayer, you don't let yourself get stunned too much, and you eat your food properly. That part's pretty easy, isn't it?
It's fairly difficult.
Okay.
But you can probably do it. If you've eaten, I guess Nomad isn't difficult anymore. But
yeah.
Not the hardest boss.
Yeah, and that's good.
And Zaros talks to you again after you've defeated all of that, because then she goes back to sleep or something. Then he says, all right, you need a body. So you go down below, to the core of the world.
The Elder
Halls.
That's
how planets work. To the Elder Halls. And there's a thing called the Measure, which is like a pingy thing. So
yeah,
you can find
you plant
wisps.
It.
But the giant Elder God, his name is Ma. Her name is Ma, excuse me. And... you have to gather Ma Wisps, and you do that, and once you get 250 Ma Energy, you can weave a Dark Divine Simulacrum, which will help Zaros, or a Light Divine Simulacrum, which will hurt Zaros. And there are also small Stones of Jazz. Did you notice that, Shane?
Yeah, I did. Through each of the little tentacles of the thing that come off the main room, right?
Yeah, so you learn that the Stone of Jazz is... It has a purpose.
Yeah.
Specifically. But it hasn't fulfilled that yet, because those other orbs cracked once theirs had been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to see what comes of that.
Mm-hmm. And there is also something, and then once you build him a body, he returns, and then Ma wakes up and gets angry.
And it's time
to go.
Time to go.
Or something. There's an overly dramatic cutscene, of course. Then you step back through the world gate, back to Azanadra, and then Zaros returns.
And he really
gets
angry
gets
at Sliske. Yeah. Because as it turns out, Zaros did not want Sliske to go to the measures that he has gone to in order to bring him back. So in other words, Sliske is on his own faction now. We always thought he was operating kind of, as a front man of Zaros, knowing he is what Zaros would embody when he came back. But that's not entirely the case, or at least that's what Zaros tells us.
I never thought that.
No, that's the sense that I got. I mean, I got the senses that he was the one trying to bring Zaros back, and he embodied what Zaros wanted to do when he got back.
He knew sort of what to do. He's given guidelines, but he interpreted them quite a bit differently than it was actually meant. So, yeah, he got excommunicated.
I think that's going to provide for some interesting quest lines later on.
Mm-hmm. So, and then quest complete.
Yeah, so did you give him the good body or the bad body?
Gave him the good one. Gave him the good stuff.
Good, me too. You know, I ultimately think that, you know, now that we have such a powerful being among us, if he wanted to, he could ultimately start reshaping some of the more recent stuff that's going on with the so-called young gods, you know? Because when you think about it and look at the godhood tiers, at tier 2 you had Guthix, Saren, who is presumably off to sleep in crystal form somewhere, and now Zaros is back.
Shatter.
Yeah. So when you think about it, it definitely makes sense that Zaros can try and instill some order in what's going on here. Now, another thing that was kind of interesting is that, quote, "I didn't start wars, I was just better at them," or something to that effect.
Yep, Zaros said that. But also, if you use the memories, they all seem to line up with what he says when you actually talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was intriguing.
So where do you think we're going with that?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, I mean, you said it's interesting that the memories coincide with what he actually says. So does that mean that he is the ultimate force
for good?
And
he also says that he would never lie to you.
Yeah.
And thus far, comparing the memories and that, those are the memory shards that you can pick up along the way. Although those could have been planted as well. I don't know.
Hard to say, though, given Frenesque.
Yeah. But you get a lot of XP.
Yeah, you do.
Can we go over that?
Yeah, we can go over rewards right now. I think it makes sense to kind of do that. Then we'll kind of swing back and talk about what the ultimate end goal of this is here. So, first things first, 125,000 magic XP, 100,000 divination and slayer XP, 75,000 agility XP, and 50,000 summoning XP.
Yep, and you can also go, talk to several people. You can go talk to Azanadra to get, a lamp that'll give 75,000 experience in 3 skills, combat skills.
80 plus. And he's at the Temple of Sentistan.
Yeah. And you can get a lamp from Ali the Wise and Narda if you've completed Ritual of the Majorat. But I think what interested me the most, I went to the Empyrean Citadel from
Missing Presumed Death.
What was that quest? Yeah, Missing Presumed Death. And you run into the throne room and then leave, Sliske will appear. And he will give you one straight answer to a question. I asked him if he's really a god now, and he says no, and he doesn't want to, but he also has powers similar to our own. So he's kind of a world guardian.
Well, that's just lovely. So we're gonna have to kill him one day, then, right?
And then, like, at the end of the quest, Zaros, I think, did you get the impression that he wanted to kill him?
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, but it wasn't important and it wasn't within his ways of doing things.
He couldn't.
Oh, okay.
That's what Sasuke was saying, because he was all cocky about it.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So why is that?
He said that we both, he being Sasuke, said that we both gained powers from the death of a god, so they're similar.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So if he's on the same level as you, then would that, and then that's why he can't be killed by Zaros, because we can't be harmed by the gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
Unless he gave permission, but I doubt he would give permission for him to kill him, yeah.
Yeah. So, there is also one other thing in this quest that was very interesting. Actually, multiple things, but first things first, did you catch the line that Zaro said? Is that basically Guthix wouldn't have been sleeping if he knew the secret that Gilanor held?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, there was this line in one of the chances when you could talk with Zaros, and he basically said that Gilanor holds this secret that is so big that
is
it's
that
so...
the Elder Halls?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of finding the Elder Halls on Gilanor. And it came down to that if Guthix knew of this, Zaro said he wouldn't have spent all that time sleeping. So... I think eventually we'll end up having to find those.
Well, yeah, obviously. No, made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, whatever. Sorry about that. So, have things changed for in terms of the trajectory that the storyline is taking here? Given the way this quest ended, in that Zaros wants to make sure that, you know, he starts exerting the control again on the world, albeit quietly.
Well, it pretty much said what I think we all knew was going to happen. We're going to have to take care of the Dragonkin. We're going to have to take care of the young gods, like Zaradomin and Zemrak. Dragonkin, those... I think there's one other thing.
We're also going to have to find the Elder Gods on Gilanor.
Oh, yeah.
And help them to prevent Maw from dying.
We're going to have to do targeted destruction, because that's really the only thing that would wake the Elder Gods. Because all of the destruction of the God Wars was barely enough to wake Guthix, and that was at the very, very end of it. So it's going to take something massive, and I mean, it could be destruction on a wide scale, but that's not great.
And
let's
just be clear going forward that Jagex really doesn't probably want to destroy half the game world in a quest line.
Suspension of disbelief, Shane.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, we never thought that, you know, we'd be talking about pulling changes to the combat system or free world and free combat coming back after the wilderness was removed, but there you go. So, I guess that's possible. Now, at the end of the quest, you get to keep the measure. And have you gone to the other places where this thing resonates?
Shane, I finished it like 20 minutes ago. No, I haven't had time.
So, basically, in this quest, we learn that there are more than three Elder Gods. We've only known of three before. Jazz,
five.
Full, and Ma. And now there's five that we know of. And that's probably all there are. That's all that was mentioned here. And we got to trust Zaros on this fact, because he basically said that he was created as kind of... one of the Elder Gods' creations. So,
along with someone who's implied heavily to be Saren.
Yes.
I mean, in the rewards, if you find all of the Memoriam crystals on Frenesque, you get 2 overrides, the Helm of Zaros and the Crest of Saren. So, it's Saren.
Yep. And like we've known before, Saren is a pacifist and prefers not to interfere with the world, and that's why she shattered herself into millions of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that leaves Zaros to be pulling the strings and, you know, communicate with the Elder Gods and whatnot. And he said that is something that he is going need to do in this case, because the Elder Gods won't listen to a young god, they won't listen to the World Guardian, but they'll listen to him. So that's where you and Zaros' relationship is ultimately going to go. But the Elder Gods, 4 of them, except Ma, are still on Gilinar, and we have interacted with them before. Now, this is kind of a cop-out on Jagex's part, because remember...
You don't know who they are still.
Well, that's where this measure comes into play. People were experimenting around with the measure, just putting it down places, you know, where they think things might work. And people have managed to find 4 places where they think the Elder Gods might be resting in terms of landmasses. So the idea is that...
Apparently it's an Elder artifact.
Yes, it is. It's the weakest of the Elder artifacts, according to the Jagex FAQ on this quest. So, first things first, the obvious one. We've talked about Full creating the Elder Kiln, so where would you suspect that this one Elder God, Full, is resting?
Say that again?
Full created the Elder Kiln and the Tazar.
Okay.
So where is that Elder God resting? Yep, that's number one. So there's one of them accounted for. Now, the other ones...
I'm not sure that's what all of that means, though.
Well, it's heavily mentioned in the FAQ for this week's update.
Okay.
On the forums.
Scroll down and find that.
It's in Fate of the Gods FAQ by Mod Slayer. So,
what is borderline? Would you consider Zaros and Saren to be like brother and sister?
Yeah, you know,
the
that's
relationship between Saren and Zaros is a bit tricky. It's potentially borderline Lannister. What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's Google.
See, I kind of found that the brother-sister relationship was... That's what it did feel like.
I don't know.
But, anyways. You think we end up seeing as them brother or sister, or what?
I don't think it really matters.
Okay. Well, this is straight from the FAQ at Jagex. Of course, there were the Elder Gods, and they say, you know, we have interacted with them before. Mod Rawley says, yes. So you know when we said you'd interacted with the Elder Gods in the past? Walking on is an interaction. So basically, what ends up being mentioned here is that the Elder Gods are actually huge land masses that need to be moved, and first one being the volcano on Karamja, the Tazar. That is one reference right there to Full. Also, Entrena is one as well, because if you use your measure by that submerged statue on Entrena, you'll get another wisp. Also, the Oracle on Ice Mountain, so Ice Mountain is one. and the ruins of Ulek in the desert. That's the fourth one. So those are the four supposed resting locations of the Elder Gods on this world.
Huh. So apparently the Oracle now says when, W-E-N, the cold wind blows. And that's the name of the ice slash water Elder God.
Yep.
So, that's interesting.
There you go. And then, so the Jazz, Full, and Wen. I forget what the fifth name is.
It's the person in this quest. What was her name? Ma. And then there's one more that we don't know.
Yeah, and the question is, where is Jazz? Is Jazz on Entrena or in the ruins of Ulek? Because we know that Full is fire, and that's T'Zar, obviously. And then, like you said, Wen, the Oracle, on Ice Mountain. So that's that right there. So it's just a matter of finding where Jazz and this unknown other one are. So
I don't know.
And when you go use your measure on each of these places, you get 50,000 divination XP each time.
Yep.
So you get 200,000 divination XP.
You can also get a teleport to the World Gate on your 6th Age circuit by going back to the Guthix High Druid. And also the Engrammeter if you fully charge it again. If you want to do that, you get 25,000 divination XP and you take a lot less damage. I think it's 15% less damage from all of the annoying environmental effects.
Yeah, and Frenisgates. I mean, you can get through it just fine without it, but I guess every little bit helps. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that's pretty much all the rewards that you can get from Fate of the Gods. And, you know, I mean, this was a pretty big revelation, I think, that, you know, the Elder Gods, at least four of them, are on Gelenor. And, you know, we just need to wake them up somehow through some
it's
massive
the most
destruction.
Perfect creation. So I have always had the feeling that they were somewhere.
Yeah, and remember you thought one of them was Hans?
I still think Hans is one of them.
I don't know about that. I don't think we can.
The Oracle.
I don't think we can do that now.
I'm going to be very disappointed if Hans isn't one.
So,
it makes the most sense.
What were you saying about some gray Sith thing? You equated Zaros to one of those during the quest.
That's a topic for another time, but it's just Zaros doesn't believe in pure good, nor does he believe in pure evil. He doesn't see things in black and white. Everything is gray and serves its own purpose. I can explain to you what I meant by that later, but
yeah, I think
just
I get
a tangent that we don't need to go down.
You know, ultimately, I think I really like this guy.
Who, Zaros?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think lots of other people are going to like him too, and I mean, I don't know if I'd like that to be the god I follow if so many other people do as well, but anyways. Nah. Did we do good?
I followed Zaros before it was cool.
Yeah, I need like a signature that says that or something.
A hipster.
So did we do some good for the world by bringing him back, ultimately?
We'll find out.
Indeed we
will.
Four years. Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm not going to be waiting another 10 years to see the end of this storyline. Like, we've been waiting 10 years to see the Elven storyline. And, I mean, if that's the case, then we've...
And this one's not finished.
Nope, this is just starting up the Elder God series, so...
Yep. So on the elf quest, is this one going to be the final one?
Yes.
Do we know that yet?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, I mean, you got to close up these storylines and start new ones, so it makes sense. All right.
I like
so,
how they've wrapped everything together, though.
But, yeah, that's good. I'd like to see the gnomes wrapped up. That would be good.
Moving on.
Okay.
So, what's up next?
Rating this quest. Finished. What do you give this out of 5?
Ah, yes. 4.5.
All right. I want to give this a 5 again.
All right, fine. I'll give it a 5, too. If you're giving it a 5, then it deserves it.
Alrighty. So, that's pretty much it for our coverage of Fate of the Gods. I figure it's definitely a topic we can come back to in the future. So if you guys have any questions about this or, you know, want to lob ideas to us, just send us a question. Topic goes up on Monday most weeks, and we look forward to seeing them. But before we move on, I'll just say that this week's podcast, in terms of Jagex's Behind the Lore series, this talks about Fate of the Gods, actually. And oddly, this just posted today on their Podbean page, so I didn't have a chance to listen to it yet. But I think this is definitely one that I will listen to, because they get Mods Rolly, Sarah, Alex R, and Osborne all in here chatting about what went on in this quest. Questions relating to the world and, you know, Stone of Jazz and pretty much everything pertaining to it. So, anyways, next up, tweaks and fixes of the week. Definitely something.
I don't know if this was this week or last week, but the fixed device, the bazooka, is no longer a fixed device.
Oh, good.
What do you mean, good? It's not a bazooka anymore.
Oh, I thought you meant they fixed it and then they put it back to how it was.
No.
Oh, okay. And for anyone wondering, the bazooka you're talking about is the bazooka that you get from Morning's End Part 1.
Correct.
Okay. Also, they've added a new type of divine location, fishing bubbles. Suitable for all levels of divination and fishing levels, so you can get free rocktail from this.
What?
Oh, yes.
This isn't like a training thing. This is the...
No. It's one of the things you can make.
Yeah.
Anything from the release notes jumping out at you?
Mm-mm.
Alright. There's just two I'm going to highlight here this week. First things first, the familiar buff timer now shows on the bar instead of waiting until the original one expires, so it updates if you renew the familiar, so that's good. Also, on this, it's now possible to enable and disable audio settings using keybinds, and you now get a warning in ports if you're sending out a scroll mission for a scroll that you already have all four pieces of.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much all I wanted to highlight on here this week. It doesn't really look like there's much else that was major game-changing fixes this week. So.
Yeah. All right.
What's next?
It's the micropayments thing, isn't it? No, the polling updates.
Yes.
We
got three new polls this week. What do you make of these? They don't seem as wide-ranging as polls have seemed in the past.
Yeah. I mean, they're just polls.
We got a new website feature, Halloween 2014 at the Crystal Singing Instrument. The new website feature, 49% want the Adventurer's Log reworked, 20% want country-based high scores, 8% mobile forums, 8% a live streaming hub, and 14% something else. What do you choose?
A live streaming hub?
Yeah.
Is that just Twitch?
Yeah, so a place you could watch Twitch on the website.
Use Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
That seems useless to me.
I voted for country high scores.
I did too.
I mean, I don't like voting in these polls because it just seems like it's a stupid thing to do. We should be letting Jagex have the choice. But when there's an option that's actually good on here, I feel like I need to put my vote behind it. So that's country high scores. I would love to be the number one farmer in Canada.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
All right, Halloween 2014.
Good luck on that, though.
Basically, what we'll be fighting in the Halloween event, choices are jellyfish, void pests, ladybugs, furniture, or snakes.
God, which one's winning this one?
Void pests.
Okay, good.
I chose ladybugs.
It's the only... Why?
I don't know.
For all of the choices, why would you pick ladybugs?
Because it mentioned that we're going to be dealing with spiders, so I figured might as well have more bugs, right?
Whatever.
And the final poll is a crystal singing instrument as part of the elf quest in Elf City. So basically, we're going to be introduced to crystal singing, and we got choices as to what the instrument will be. And 18% say something called the didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo. Have you not heard of a didgeridoo?
No.
Really?
What is a didgeridoo?
I don't know how to explain it.
I didn't think that was a real instrument. I thought that was a typo.
It's a long tube. It's Australian.
Oh,
have you really not seen one of these?
No, I've seen them. I just didn't know what they were called.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So that's what that is.
There's also the harp, the organ, the xylophone, another instrument, or a new instrument. I voted for the harp.
I think that's what I voted for too.
I mean, it just makes sense that that is what the elves should play.
That or the organ.
Or why not the xylophone?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I know what a xylophone is.
That's good.
Yeah. I also know what an organ is.
Okay, so I voted for country high scores, void pests, and the harp.
Very good.
So, there you go.
Alrighty, all right. Next up is that post on micropayments from the CEO himself, Mod MMG. So, what do you make
I'll
of this?
I'll let you take that one.
No, what do you make of this? Because you were part of the group that was upset with the those agility boots, whatever they're called.
No, I wasn't really a part of the group. I didn't think it was a good decision, but I'm not going to go threatening to quit because of it or anything stupid.
It could just happen. Enough.
I mean, I've gotten quite a bit of agility experience from it, so I'm like, okay. It just so happened to get one.
Yeah, I never got one, but anyways, I don't need it. So basically, he responded to this because he felt as though people were, you know, getting the wrong perception about this, and that he just underscored their core idea of using micropayments in order to, and I quote, provide interesting but optional services for RuneScape players. Find items, new visuals, or greater convenience for those that may want it. It was never our intention to undermine the game's core content. We're human, and we occasionally make mistakes. This undoubtedly happened with the Silverhawk's Boots item, which was recently added to Treasure Hunter. So, well,
he apologized, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I'm fine with that. Made a mistake, and they admitted it. And that is that.
Yep. And basically, what he ended up saying is this, is they're going to be putting additional safety checks in place to make sure the balancing and game effect of these items are actually, you know, just double and triple checked before they go into game.
Now, that's I'm curious good. To know what that means.
Well, my guess is that would it, if it's not a cosmetic item, it's something like the Silverhawk Boots or Wicked Pouch. If it actually does something, they will be running balancing, not just as they normally do, but really running balancing on it to make sure it's not too overpowered.
How do you balance something if you want it to do nothing and just be cosmetic? I don't understand.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, it needs to provide a small but feasible boost, but not become a main way of training things, which it sounded like these boots were, so...
Yeah, like, it had, I think, 500 charges, and with all the bonus XP I have, I get, like, 800 each. I've already gotten two levels from it, and I'm level 83 now.
Yeah,
so...
that is pretty powerful. I mean, I think a fair form of these boots might have been to do something like the Boots of Lightness, but on a larger scale, because the Boots of Lightness reduce, what, 4 kilograms off your weight? So, just maybe... I don't know if they do, but basically my thing would be to butcher this experience you receive by, say, 4, and then add on some weight reducing to it. That would probably be fine. Not so much that it would make it, you know, seem like something you need to get, but just enough to, you know, add stuff onto it that's not going to be, you know, too overpowered. So.
Yeah, they're not, I don't know. They're not weight reducing.
Yeah. And also with this, they do say they are going to be adding the ability to earn rune coins in-game through completing surveys.
I thought they already did.
Yeah, they did. And they're also going to be adding Treasure Hunter to it soon as well.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
If I can... I mean, presumably I'll be able to just fake everything. Like, I know for... Stowe, I had the persona of a 43-year-old homosexual black man with 8 children.
You were Phlox.
Say what?
You were Phlox.
Oh,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you'll get that later. But welcome, Jackie. Thank you for joining us, if it's a bit late.
I wasn't late. Y'all were late.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyways, Phlox is a character on Star Trek Enterprise. He is the very creepy doctor on that series.
Okay.
Who has multiple wives and multiple husbands.
Yeah.
A horror.
And he has pictures.
Okay, that's enough of that. So, do you have any... input for us on this Mod MMG post on micropayments there, since you just joined us.
Anything on this post? Quite honestly, we've been talking about all this stuff since the beginning of time. We've always said to keep it very cosmetic. They're constantly kind of bending the rules to their own will.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important that he said they're going to be double and triple checking anything that, you know, is offering more than just a cosmetic override.
They shouldn't really add anything except for cosmetic overrides.
See, that's what I said.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, that is what makes RuneScape RuneScape, and that, you know, there is no cosmetic, or there is just cosmetic overrides, it's which is fine. And given that, you know, they're not going full bore on having micropayments and going pay to win, I think we're still very fortunate with this. And we're also very fortunate that ModMMG himself has responded to this in such a good way, so openly, when in most games you don't even know who the director or the design director of the game is, let alone the CEO of the company and studio that makes the game. So we are truly fortunate to have him on our side in this.
Okay. Oops, wrong place.
Alrighty. All right. Next up, we have a Player's Gallery. The Player's Gallery return, and basically in this one, the topic was battle. So we got some pretty good representations here of things going on in RuneScape that are battle-based. So the Void Stares back.
Resolution pictures yet?
Let's see. Yes.
Wow, we do. I mean, that one's...
We get the
over
what?
Over 1,000 this time.
We get what?
Decent resolution pictures.
Void Stares back. That's the sword. Let's see. This poor...
person is asleep or dead. I can't really tell.
In battle.
No, she's asleep. Notice that there's no blood. However, she has something covering her left eye, so she might have lost the eye in battle. Looks like. Let's see. Armadale.
Okay, they can't see it, so it's just it's art.
Yeah, and basically, my favorite one is "We Want War." I like the way that one looks with the red and the background and the shading and whatnot done. Oh, I know what you mean by that.
Yep.
Anyways,
all right.
The next competition focuses on Fate of the Gods, and it ends on April 26th, so send your entries to gallery@jagex.com if you're an artist. Stick figures need not apply.
That's the best I can do.
Yep, same here. How about you there, Earth?
Doesn't say anything about that.
That's what I said.
So you're lying.
You're lying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What a good conservative.
All right, moving on.
All righty. Questions? You guys ready for some questions?
No.
Okay, first one is from Ramska.
Yes.
Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and F. How you doing, Muramski? Been a while since I've been sending questions, but a few weeks back, Shane, that picture you posted on RuneWire, what was it? It's two black hairband things. I still haven't figured out what it is. Earth, why does Brian suck? Lastly, with high-level players like me having access to ports, why do I have to still pay money to the ship transport people around RuneScape, where I have my own four boats going on? My own port, actually, yeah. And what is the end goal of divination, really? I reckon with power of the players, we should resurrect Gothics, you know? Along with the spring crafting skill. Air, fire, water, heart, and what's the last one? Earth, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What do you reckon? Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Rumsky out.
Was that a Captain Planet reference? Reed.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That question reminded me of a certain one that I sent in a long time ago. How?
All right. So those things on RuneWire, the thing that looks like black hairbands, those were elastics from my microphone setup.
They're what?
Elastics from my microphone setup. Basically,
what does that mean?
My microphone is held in place by elastics in order to prevent the vibrations from the desk transferring into the microphone.
Interesting.
So there's this assembly that grips the microphone, and then that assembly is held to the greater microphone stand by those elastics. And over the span of about 3.5 years, those elastics expanded out, and it was time to replace them with new ones.
Yay!
So that's what those elastics were. So why does Brian suck?
I don't really remember why that started. I think he was just spamming one day, and I just decided to counter that by saying Brian sucks. So,
and it's forever become a fixture of your RuneWire posts.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of vibrations, do I need to go get the shotgun? Can
you Not hear yet.
It yet.
Not yet.
I hear
okay.
It.
Let me know if it becomes a problem.
We'll do.
Take care of the natives, I suppose you could say.
Alrighty. College so ports. Life. That makes sense. Why do we have to pay so much when we're already the head of a huge port?
Because we don't own the ships.
Definitely, okay. We do. It's our ships. However,
no,
we realize
the transport ships.
No, but keep in mind one other little thing. We are heading east, where we get full profits from everything. However, if we were to travel on our ships within the realm of Glenanor, in our little area, we have to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes, do you, Shane? That's why we can't do it. It's cheaper to teleport and take the boat to Karumja than it is to hire a crew, sail you over there for one little thing, and then come on back. Think about it.
Sure.
All right. That's a fair explanation, I guess. Yes.
And the other reason is that Lady Lumbridge is still ours, and we still haven't gotten our lawyer to sue the guy yet.
What's Lady Lumbridge?
Beat him up.
The Dragon ship that you Slayer. Went for, Dragon Slayer?
Oh, okay. All right. Personally, I think it's just a role-playing type thing, so yeah.
Yeah, so we're only allowed to go east. We cannot go west.
Yep.
Yeah. So anything else on that one?
Nope. Let's see. What was the center question?
All right.
Three questions, didn't he?
I think we got him.
Okay.
All right. Next one from 101 Duck 1.
Hey guys, 101 Duck 1 here again with a question about post-quest content. Upon completion of Fate of the Gods, and since then, everyone I really know of absolutely loved Quest, but only had really one thing to pick on it about, and that is that it was too short. Admittedly, it took a long time for me personally, because I went through every single chat branch, which for Zaras was about 40 minutes, but it was shorter than even I had initially expected. However, this quest is unique, especially in its rewards after the quest, tying into all other sorts of quests, mini quests, and other sorts of content to bring more to the story overall. If you could, please tell us all how you feel about shortening the length of quests within the quest and adding on additional tasty bits afterward. Also, have any of you achieved the Annihilator title yet? Just a tip. Use ranged. All right, well, that's it for me this week. Thank you guys for the awesome show.
Yeah.
Was the quest too short?
I thought it was a nice length.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Don't want one that's like... It's What was the really long quest? Morning Ensign Part 2.
Yeah.
I don't think we can handle another one of those.
Or the mini quest.
Don't talk to me about that damn mini quest, Shane.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good length. And when you really think about it, what all went on here was that all we were doing is we were really just bringing Zaros back. There wasn't a whole lot of problem solving to be done with this, which makes sense. And what? Whoa! Shoot! My pen just jumped out of my hand. My pen.
It's gonna get
you,
Shane.
Yeah, just jumped. I don't know why, but I better just put it down. I don't hurt myself.
Down your throat. So no, that's what you normally do with pens. Shane likes to eat pens, by the way. Goes into subtle jab at him.
Anyways, yeah, but there's no real problem solving to be done, and we brought him back, which, I mean, once he was back, it makes sense that all the other end of quest reward stuff happened. So I don't see any problem with that, and it really hasn't been done like that in quest before. So I think we're perfectly fine with this case, and I think it also adds a bit of more immersion too. In that, I mean, in this case, the specific Majorat you go visit for the rewards we mentioned, you do end up, you know, it just creates a greater feeling of immersion in the world.
Yep.
So I don't have any problem with it. How about you guys?
Well,
fine with me.
Well, right now I'm meeting Zaros and just going through different branches trying to learn about his history and outcome. I like how the creator is Ma.
Yeah, I found that amusing too. I didn't realize that that was her real name at first as well. I thought that was just like Mom.
Yeah.
It's Ma.
But they're British.
Ma. Ma. Ma.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
So, the Annihilator title. I don't assume you guys went for that yet. Killing the Nihils.
Yeah, I was gonna do that later.
They said to go for blood magic, according to the guides.
Well, this guy here, 101 Duck 1, says ranged. So.
Oh no! I think ice barrage and all that may be still good, but I don't know.
Just not melee.
Did you die on that, Trekkie?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So Shane killed you too.
I didn't die.
Yeah. So why didn't you tell us exactly what you did?
I told you what to do.
Killing us. Yeah. After I died.
Well, I was typing it all out in one message, but...
Well, actually, for me, I just went in with nothing just to see what happened. I was like, oh. Okay. Figure found out that double chaotic isn't very good, so I switched to my God Sword, which was better. And I managed to do it with the Beast of Burden and full inventory Rocktails and some potions. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to go back for the title. I mean, the Annihilator, and I mean... I'm really not that set on titles.
I
don't
do that. Thinking of it,
yeah. I guess.
Whatever.
Anyways, thank you for the audio questions, 101 Duck 1 and Muramska. If you want to be like these two fine individuals, you can send audio questions in to questions@rsbnb.com, or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. Alrighty, the next question, it's a text one and a long one at that, so I'll read it. It's from Magic One. Dear host, do you think that Jagex should focus more on bringing the game up to date, or should they ignore older parts and focus on new content? For example, I recently did Blood Runs Deep to get ready for the new quests in it, The Dagonoth mother doesn't change colors as she used to, and she references Guthix as if he were alive and Sarah Doman as if he weren't kind of evil and weird. Are these the things Jagex should be looking at to change, or are they in the past and irrelevant? Also, I wanted to point something out in Mark Gerhard's post, in case you skipped it. He stated that micropayments exist to offer players fun items, new visuals, or greater convenience. I don't think anyone has had any problems with the first two, but I was very struck by his admittance of greater convenience. I think that's what's gotten the whole community upset, all in all. I think the rest of his post was quite well done. Sorry for the long question, Magic One. All right, so first part.
Read, you go first.
Let's see. Well, if by up to date you mean updating dialogue, that's hard to say, because didn't they say that all of that stuff was in the past now?
Fifth Age, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really all just depends on the order you do things, whether it'll be accurate. I said, suspension of disbelief, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you start out RuneScape, you are in the Fifth Age, and you do not make the transition to the Sixth Age entirely until you complete the World Wakes. Now, you can do other things, like let's say we have another world event and participate in Sixth Age stuff, but your character is not fully in the Sixth Age until you get the World Wakes completed and get that World Guardian title. So keep that in mind as per dialogue and quests. But I think that if, for example, the Dagonoth Mother's not changing color, then that's a bug and should be reported, because it is a fairly integral part to that quest in that it changed color, so you know what kind of damage to use on it.
Mm-hmm. Then at the end, you just get a ball mug and whack it.
Yeah, or you could do that too. And, I mean, it comes down to keeping old content fresh and whatnot so that it can be played by new people who are joining the game, and that is something that really should be done, because remember, we have all these quests done and we've been playing for a long time, and you know, we just take it for granted that we played these in the past and they worked, but if they stop working, they really should be fixed.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, someone's coming in for a landing.
at least it actually can land.
Yeah.
Ooh, too soon?
No.
I don't get it.
Of course you don't.
The plane, Shane.
Yeah, of course they can land. They have, oh, right.
God. Slow.
All right.
Anyway, what's the other thing that happened?
The Mark Gerhard post. You know, I think greater convenience. I mean, I don't know what other items they say greater convenience come from in Solomon's store. So,
yeah, I don't know either.
Like, what could Mark be referring to in that?
Your guess is as good as mine, Shane. I have no idea. Right. I tend to ignore things in that store. They're there, okay, that's nice, but it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, case in point, today I pointed you to the store to pick up the vampirism aura.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it did.
Now you do.
Yep. Didn't even use...
Alrighty, well, that's it for questions, everybody. I agree, that post was quite well done, so we'll look forward to seeing more of your questions next week. They'll be posted, or the questions topic will be posted on Monday on the forums, rspmv.com/forums. Alrighty, what have we got for tech news this week?
Facebook buys Oculus, and people are not happy.
Oculus Rift.
Oculus.
Oculus Rift.
Yes. Hey, if he can say Benelli's, I can say Orculus and whatever I want. Like reggae.
You're still both wrong. But anyway.
Oh, Facebook, fine. I'll say it. It's Baneling. It's Baneling. I just say it to annoy you.
It's probably Facebook probably just killed Oculus Rift. Apparently, a bunch of the funders are pulling out.
Yep.
And it was just a poor decision on both companies.
To do this so early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
wait until it's fully developed.
I don't know when we. Well, let me ask you this. So Facebook just bought Oculus. If you were in charge of Facebook and all that stuff, what would you do? What would you do to use your new acquired acquisition?
Laugh maniacally and shut the program down.
I don't know. It's a virtual reality technology, and I don't think Facebook games are all that immersive. I don't know, but I mean that could be the only area that Facebook would be wanting to go with this, unless they were wanting to create some sort of virtual reality type hologram chat thing with this, or you know, branch out into the wider area of video gaming. Like what?
Omega.
I'm sorry, I don't get that.
Oh, okay, never mind.
All right. The company was bought for about $2 billion. That's a combination of cash and stock. You know, I honestly think...
Cash is done in a back alley.
No. Well, at least we assume not, but...
Said that.
You know,
come
I...
Come on, next...
Just come on, with the... Just with the fact of them killing this, I think that, you know, could ultimately have been what they were trying to do. But, I mean, it's just too bad that it had to happen that way.
But why? What is their motive?
I don't know. Nobody understands Facebook. Only Mark Zuckerberg himself does.
No, he doesn't.
Sure he does. He likes chicken McNuggets. That made it to the top story of Dig one day is that he clicked a like button that he liked chicken McNuggets.
Ooh, wow, chicken McNuggets. You ever ate those, Shane? No.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Many, many years ago.
I see.
All right. Microsoft has released Office for the iPad. It is free for reading and presenting, and will cost you $99 a year if you want to create content with it.
Nope.
Create content with it?
Yeah.
Not doing it.
So.
Well, will you at least download Microsoft Office for your iPad then and use it to present stuff?
What do you mean by create content?
I mean, like, write a Word document or work on a PowerPoint or do a spreadsheet.
Yeah, then you know what we do. We just go on Google Drive.
Yeah.
Or whatever program my iPad has now. That's really dumb to try Pages. And do a subscription thing.
I disagree. People buy stuff in Farmville on Facebook, so surely someone will subscribe to this.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, this is the way that Microsoft wants Office to go. They want to provide the apps for free, but they get you on this subscription. You'll have Office for your iPad, your tablet, and your desktop. So, I mean, it's definitely the way Microsoft is going, and these apps top the App Store chart for the last 4 days or so since they've been released. So they are very popular. So.
Office 2K10 till I die.
Yeah, I stopped with 2007. Mm-hmm. Then I went to iWork.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Last piece of tech news. Microsoft is making the source code for MS-DOS and Word for Windows available to the public. So these are the early versions of DOS and Word from the 1980s, so don't go expecting that you'll be able to compile and run them on your current system and get any work done, though it would be interesting if you could. But nonetheless, just for a bit of a backgrounder, the source code for MS-DOS was less than 300 kilobytes, all of the source code for the operating system. Which is very, yeah. very aren't tiny. There,
aren't there apparently some interesting comments in there too?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I mean, developers always put interesting comments in their code, so it'll definitely be very fun to look over all these things. I haven't done that yet, but it should be something that I will do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of it, MS-DOS formed the underpinnings of Windows, Windows 1 through all the way up to Windows ME before they switched over to the NT kernel. So definitely some interesting history here, and provide for great computer science studies in the future.
Okay.
Alrighty, moving on to other things. This week, the March scale of the month is rounding up slowly. Currently, Flash is in first place. It's the prayer scale of the month. Flash is winning with 3.3 million experience gained. Second place is Devo with 2 million experience. And third place is our Uncle Dano with 1.3 million experience gained.
As opposed to their Uncle Dano.
Yes. Yes. And the skill of the month for April is prayer. So if you're interested in competing, all that you need to do is head over to rsbnb.com/SKOTM and sign up.
So,
yep.
Shane, you said April is prayer.
Oops. I mean, April is ranged. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and as I saw in the picture, someone decided to try and get a lot of chimchampas.
Yeah.
As what?
Yeah, a lot of chimchampas.
Yeah, someone posted in the sign-up topic a picture of 100k chimchampas to use for the month.
Oh, shit. Where do you train with those now?
You can do it in the chaos tunnels and use devotion to help you out.
What's devotion do?
That's the one that the makes protection prayers. 100%
protect
hard.
Again.
Yep.
Yeah, basically. Okay.
All right. So that's your skill of the month update.
All right. Next up, we have achievements of the week. We only have one this week. We have Parnassus. We got 99 thieving on the 23rd.
Woo!
Congratulations. Right. Thieving is such an underappreciated skill. I really do give you full props for going all the way to 99.
You've gotten props from Shane. You should feel special now.
And
Shane doesn't give props to anyone but his homies.
That's right.
He doesn't have any homies.
All right. We also got an Informer article to tell you about this week, the difference between varying types of gamers and, you know, what we might see when we play RuneScape, whether it be a casual or a hardcore or a professional gamer. That's on Informer at informer.rsbnb.com. What was that?
Yes, I play RS very, very hardcore. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, so much so that when you shoot someone, they die instantly, right? That's hardcore mode. Remember all the fun you had
really.
In Battlefield hardcore
Stop.
Mode? Reed?
Stop. Don't go there, Shane. Do not go there.
Go okay. Where?
He's talking about the shit thing in Battlefield 3.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Awful.
So, does anyone have a pick?
Take notes.
I am.
Yes.
All right. What's your pick?
It is called 2048. I can't find the document. I'm just going to link it to you in Skype. Apparently, it's on the App Store, too, but I just found it on GitHub. And
yeah, it is.
The objective is to combine all of the tiles into a 2048 block.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like this game.
Do you now? But,
yeah, I do. And you know what's funny?
What?
I linked you to something very similar, except it did it with threes. I don't know which one was first, but...
How do you get zeros?
Well, 2048, I'm trying to see how to get zeros.
No. You combine everything.
Oh, I keep adding it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice little keyboard type game. It is on the App Store. Actually, I did see it. There are lots of variants of it. So I don't know who the original creator of this is.
I don't either.
So why did you choose this?
Why not?
Because it's fun. Yeah, why not?
Okay. I got to 128.
Wow, what's your high score, Shane?
852.
I'm at 6012. I think I only got to a single 512 block, so...
Alright.
I'm just button smashing.
Yeah, it's surprisingly effective just going up, down, left, right, up, down, left, right, up, down, left, right, up, down, left, right. Because you don't want to get everything combined into one corner.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And once you get up to the higher numbers, then you'll obviously want to do more strategy. But just to get up to about 128, you can just button mash and it's fine.
Yeah, so of course this is free. You could probably find it on whatever app store you're on, whether it be on an iPhone or a Windows phone or an Android. But I wonder who the original creator is. That's what I wonder most. So, anyways, good pick of the week.
This site is the official version of 2048, so I guess if that is to be believed, then this is the original.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is no way to tell true attribution on the internet pertaining to this.
Yeah,
I just checked it out.
Abraham Lincoln said that, right?
Huh?
Abraham Lincoln said that, right?
Oh, really? I did not know
that. I saw it on one of those motivational posters.
Really? I just checked it out in the website that we linked in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com does actually work on mobile. So you can just go to this website and play the game on your phone. Yeah. It works
really
good.
Really?
Yep. Try it out.
And it's like not laggy at all.
No, it's very good.
Wow, what are you using? Is this on the iPad or the phone?
No, the iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, the tiles don't animate like the animation. Not as nicely on the computer, but you can definitely still see the animation moving, and it's fast enough. So, yeah,
and I assume it's still ad free there too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
There you go. An effective web app.
Yep.
Who would have ever thought those?
Steve Jobs said
around.
It could be done.
Yeah. But you know, people are bitchy, so...
All right, that's 2048. And you know what the significance of 2048 is, right?
2 to the power of who gives a fuck.
Oh, dear.
Pi is exactly 3.
No, it's not. Anyways, so that's good. That's 2048. So let's just say, let's just start with Trekkie. What have you been up to this week?
Oh, I've been working like crazy over the past week and got some new projects that we need to get working on. I finally finished off the mini quest this morning, and I was working on the Grandmaster quest today. We didn't finish it yet. I'm on Zaro's talking about, you know, what you do, what he did, and his past, and why Zamorak did that, and why Saradomin did this, and are you really evil, and all that other good stuff. And I'm 80% of my way to the next area.
How do you know you're 80%?
I scrolled over to the next region.
Oh, and it says
80% ports, to the next region.
Right. Okay, right. Sounds good. How about you, Earth? Aside from, well, I don't want to enrage you.
Mostly I've been training this damn skill they call divination. But,
yeah.
Driven by the brutal slave driver known as Shane1288.
I said you didn't need to do the quest. Come on, we could have had one of your friends fill you in on it, and then we could have just done it.
Yeah, but we both know that's not as good. You have to do it yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
Other than that, nothing of significance need be mentioned here.
So, alrighty.
Yeah.
As for me this week on RS, I've just been training divination. I got level 93. I'm sorry, you probably don't want to hear that.
Okay. I don't have to train it ever again, so hope and pray.
Well then, aside from that, just did the quest. I did end up deciding, or at least start putting some thought into whether or not I will be going for the supposed level 120 farming. I'm not entirely sure yet that I want to.
Shane, we both know you're going to do that. Everyone listening to this knows you're going to do that. So stop selling yourself short. There's going to be a farming skill of the month here in a month or two, and you're just going to give in to your inner desires and just get it.
I can't. I'm broke. I don't have the funds to fight a farming skill of the month.
All right, I'll have speak with Fred Bot.
Anyways, so if I do that, it will be called Project Green, the next generation.
Why not Project Greener?
No, I don't want to do that.
There are so many better names than just Project Green. I'll think of one for you, Shane.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I think we're done for this week's episode of RSBNB Update. For Earth and us here at RSBNB Update, have a good week, everybody. And remember, tonight, Saturday, is Human Achievement Hour.
Yeah.
Yes, we achieved by protecting Earth for 1 hour. Bye, guys.
Goodbye, everyone.